I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. The Dogman days of summer. It's hot, sticky, stale. And we're expecting some odd weather upcoming here on the West Coast. Hot and humid for the next week. And while we're used to hot, I'm not all that excited about humid. But that's what this time of year brings. The kind of weather that turns you nocturnal for a while. You find yourself sitting outside at night, later and later into the evening. Now here at the cabin, we have a screened-in porch. If I'm not at work here in the studio, I'm out there. And sometimes even overnight. Well, the point that I'm getting at, you might be wondering, is when folks spend a lot of time outside, they open themselves up to the unexplained and the supernatural. The line between home and nature is blurred a bit this time of year. Sometimes literally, as we spill out of our homes in search of a cool breeze. Unless you have air conditioning, of course. Anyway, as you're spending time outdoors here at the end of the summer, keep your wits about you. You never know what you might see or experience. Just like our first caller here, all the way from Canada. Please welcome Joseph to the program.
Hey, Derek. It's Joseph from Montreal. I wanted to call in and let you know about a pretty wild story from my cousin's country house. So this country house is in St. Gabriel de Brandon, maybe 2 hours northeast of Montreal. I went up there my whole life. My cousins always wanted to sleep there. I hated this place. This house was built by the local priest back in the 1920s, and he actually left it to my aunt's mom, and that's how they ended up having it. This house was so creepy. Oh my God. So creepy. Super dark, kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes, if I could give you a little visual. Just the basement was creepy as hell. They had a little chapel in the basement. The priest's clothes were still there. I never went in it. I just looked in it, and I never wanted to step into it. The majority of the time that I went to this house, I preferred to stay outside. I slept there, I think, one time, and I think I slept sitting up on the couch. Anyway, so my uncle told me a story before the story that happened to me. He said that one time he was up there with my aunt and her brother and his friend and his friend's girlfriend. And his friend's girlfriend was Native. So they were partying, whatever, shooting pool and just having fun. And all of a sudden, his buddy's girlfriend, she walks up to my uncle and she whispers in his ear. She goes, "We're not alone. And there's many of them." She didn't say anything else more than that. And just that gives me the chills because, yeah, this house was creepy enough. So the story that happened to me was I must have been about 26. And it was me, my dad, my grandfather, and my uncle. And we were closing up the country house for the winter. So it must have been maybe October. So my uncle was basically running from the porch in the kitchen, through the kitchen, down the stairs into the basement, bringing furniture or whatever, like porch furniture, downstairs, and then walking back up the wooden stairs through the kitchen out to the balcony. So the stairs being like wooden planks, you could really hear like a tock, 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 tock as somebody walks up the stairs. So my uncle goes upstairs, downstairs, and I think maybe it was the second or third time he was coming up the stairs, his footsteps passed and tock, 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 and he walked by me. And maybe 5 seconds after that, tock, 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 and a gust of wind right by me. And my dad was standing right across from me, and his eyes shot open. He was like, "Did you hear that?" I'm like, "Did you feel that?" Anyways, that was the end of the story. I always hated the house. I'm glad that they got rid of it. They always made fun of me for being afraid of it, but I think I was justified in my fear. Again, love the show. Have a great one. Bye.
Thanks, Joseph. You know, over the years, I've learned to trust those negative vibes you get for no reason. It can happen when you meet a person, or when you're walking through a sketchy area. Or in Joseph's case, it's a house that gives off those bad vibrations. Any way you look at it, we appreciate the time you took to call in here, Joseph. The place sounds interesting. Maybe the perfect place for some sort of paranormal investigation. And thank you again, Joseph, for calling in.
Without you, there's no them.
Service is through, but not affiliated with Integrity.
While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, and 3-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. That's where Mint Mobile comes in. With Mint, you can get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months of unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans, high monthly bills, and unexpected overages when you make the switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can even use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Even in our rural mountain town, we have great coverage. I'm shocked by the quality and price of Mint Mobile compared to our old provider. Who knew we could have been saving so much money all this time? So ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for just $15 a month. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get this new customer offer in your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/MAU. That's mintmobile.com/MAU. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 per month. Limited time, new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Will you have enough money to last?
I kind of look at this team the exact same as last.
Now, let's get back to the action with Heather, out of the land of 10,000 lakes.
Hey, Derek and Monsters Among Us listeners. My name is Heather, and I'm calling from the land of 10,000 lakes, Minnesota. A few days ago, I was coming home from work on my lunch break, and I'm going to preface it by saying we live off of a dirt road with about a quarter mile long driveway, and It's pretty rural, like I said. We don't have actually any blinds or curtains up. We used to have some curtains in our bedroom, but I have cats and the fur was getting all over the curtains and it was driving me batty. So at any rate, I'm driving in my driveway. I'm about halfway down this quarter mile long driveway and I see my husband standing in the bedroom window, which is large and looks toward the road and the driveway that I'm driving on. And I see him clear as day. It's my husband, his size, his body shape, his form, all of it looks, you know, just like him. And he's wearing, he likes Under Armour t-shirts. He's wearing this kind of greenish beige sleeveless type t-shirt tank that he likes to wear. And I see him and he like turns his head and clear as day, I see him. And I think to myself, number one, it's kind of weird. He's looking out the window at the exact same time I'm driving down it. He didn't know I was coming home. And second was, oh my gosh, clear as day, I can see him. What can people see from the road? Because he's, of course, always telling me not to change in front of it and all of this, that, and the other things. So I pull into the driveway in front of the garage and go in the house and expect to find him in the bedroom. Well, he's not in the bedroom. He's not in the bathroom. He's not in the kitchen. He's not anywhere in the upper level of the house. He's not in the lower level of the house. So I walk out and I go into his detached garage shop type area that he has. Then he's in the very back with his earphones on, listening to something in a dark green sweatshirt. He does woodworking and he was, you know, cutting a board. And I'm like, I just saw you in the bedroom. And he's like, no, I've been out here. Well, I'm like, I saw your doppelganger then. And it just kind of threw me, like, I know what I saw. It wasn't a shadow. It wasn't a trick of the light. It looked like him and it moved, like it turned its head and stuff. And that made me remember something that happened the previous May. I was out with my daughter. We were actually garage sailing, her and I, in the car together. And her boyfriend was staying with us. And she's texting with him, and he's all upset with her, saying she came into the bedroom, sat down on the bed, and he was talking to her, and she wouldn't talk, and just got up and left. So he's literally getting upset with this. She's getting upset that he's upset and won't believe her that she's not there. And it was to the point where when her and I did get home, I was like, no, she was with me. We were out. When was this? We were literally in the car on such and such road at this time. And that was that incident. And then the only other one, it actually didn't happen at my house, but it did involve my daughter. Two summers ago, she was with a different boyfriend and had seen him in the house when he wasn't inside. He was out doing yard work with his grandma. So make of it what you will. That's my story. Keep doing what you're doing. It's awesome. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks, Heather. You know, this either could have been a doppelganger or the ghost of the living. Now, as I've pondered before, there doesn't really seem to be much of a difference. But perhaps those of us here in the field should come up with some sort of diagram that helps us decipher between the two. But it really doesn't matter which of the two it was, does it, Heather? Because either way, it's downright creepy. So thank you again, Heather, for taking the time to share this entry. And of course, let us know should you see him again. And folks, if you have a story you would like me to share here on the air, so to speak, give our hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to mind the rules. True stories only. One story per call. Only share a story once, unless I ask otherwise. And most importantly, call from a quiet place. And by that, I do not mean the open highway. And also, don't forget that we still need calls from your young ones. 833-MAU-KIDS. Or email us at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Season 2 of Monsters Among Us Junior begins next week, August 27th. So be sure to mark your calendars. Now, speaking of doppelgangers, these next two calls are so similar They're almost doppelgangers themselves. Please welcome Chris out of the state of Maryland.
Hello, Derek. This is Chris from Maryland. Big fan of the show. Been listening for a good while. It's actually something I enjoy listening with my daughter. You know, we both listen, so this makes it on the show. Kennedy, this one's for you. So about 20 years ago, maybe I was 13 or 14, in a town nearby, I had gone to see a friend of mine. We'll call him Mike for the sake of this story. Mike lived in a house with his brother, his mom, and his father. I had two older brothers, but neither of them lived at home or close by at the time. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but his father needed picked up from somewhere, and his mom and older brother went with him, so it was just the two of us in the house. We decided that we were going to go and get something to eat in the town. I'm going to ride bikes. I went downstairs. I took my friend's bike, and he needed a bike, so his older brother's like prized bike was in the corner, one of the ones that did not live there any longer and hadn't been used in some time, so it had a power cord wrapped around one of the handles, and it was behind some things. So I helped him pull it out of there, and we rode off. We went eastward into the little town. We went in to get our food, and when we went back outside, the bike wasn't there. And our friend, you know, that we're meeting, he came over, and we were all kind of concerned. We were wondering what happened to the bike. One of the delivery drivers said he had seen somebody driving it further east away from his house. So we thought, oh, somebody stole his bike, and we went after it, and we chased around for a while. You know, never caught up to the person or saw the bike. And eventually, we just went back to his house. Some time after that, his family, his mom, his father, his brother, they all arrived home, and we told them what had happened, that the bike had been stolen. So, you know, we called the police, and they came, and they took a report, you know, said that normally unlikely to find it. You know, most of the time, these things just don't get resolved. So we said, okay, and we went back down the basement. We're hanging out for a while, and then my friend got real white, and he wasn't talking. And I asked him what was going on. He just pointed in the corner. There was the bike. It had the power cord wrapped around it, and all the things, you know, that it was behind were in front of it again, like it had never been moved. And to this day, I have no idea what happened. I guess somebody could have played a really elaborate prank and just not said anything for 20 years, but, I mean, the doors were locked. His family was not close by, pretty far away. I don't really have a theory, maybe like a slip in time or something like that, but I have no clue what happened to this day. Hope you like the story. Have a good one.
Thanks, Chris. A slip in time is as good a guess as anything. But you know, your tale reminds me of another young man that lost and then finally recovered his bike. And quite the saga that was. And now for the second part of this duo. With another missing then returned item is another Chris. This time, out of the state of Arizona.
Hello, my name is Chris Hutchinson, and I live in Santan, Arizona, and this took place around Portland, Oregon. A little backstory. My dad inherited my grandfather's truck back in 2008, and as a remembrance, there was a little magnetic pewter St. Christopher that always sat on the dashboard. With all that backstory there, maybe around 12 years ago, my dad came home from work. He was upset, and we were told that his figurine was missing off the dashboard. So we traced his steps from work, checked up and down the driveway at home, checked all around the neighborhood. That figurine was gone. So that weekend, we went out to breakfast, and I got out of the back of the truck. And when I opened the door, a figurine dropped on my shoulder. It was his St. Christopher. I was shocked, as well as my mom, my dad, and my sister. Where did this come from? Why didn't this figurine fall down when I opened the door? How did it get from the back dashboard to the passenger door frame without my dad getting into an accident. Well, listen to your podcast, season 17, episode 15. A gentleman was talking about aportation. That brought this up, and I thought maybe it was that. But we like to think that maybe my grandfather was playing a prank or joke in the afterlife, because he liked to steal the food off your plate. He liked to make jokes. Even after he passed, my sister's shoes went missing right before her wedding, and we all thought maybe it was grandpa. Hopefully you can use this. Great podcast. Have a good one.
Thank you, Chris. Aportation could explain it. Or even the spirit of your grandfather, as you suggested. But I have a third suggestion here. Is it possible that someone driving the truck hit a large pothole or a speed bump at too high of a speed? Hitting something and jarring the vehicle enough to knock the figurine free from its magnetic grip, possibly even sending it to the top of the cab. Where? Because it's magnetic, it's stuck for a short time, before finally dropping down onto Chris's shoulder. Perhaps when he bumped it or closed the door more forcefully than usual. But if you stop and think about it, this very well could have happened, and it could explain what went on with at least Chris number two. Of course, that doesn't mean I'm dismissing anything paranormal, though. As Chris had mentioned, Grandpa does seem to be sticking around, and from what I gather, he's a bit of a prankster. So thank you again to both of these Chrises for that fun little pairing. I can't explain what happened, but I'm glad to hear that both the items were returned undamaged. Now folks, we're just getting started here. I have some wild stories later on in the episode. But before we can tackle those, we must tackle this quick ad break. So sit tight and we'll be right back.
Think about all the things, Jerry.
Plenty of time down the road to talk about it. Now,
have you ever stopped to wonder just how close you've come to danger without even realizing it? Every single day, we encounter countless people on the street, in the grocery store, at the gym, never truly knowing who they are or what they're capable of. But what if one of those seemingly ordinary people was hiding a dark secret? What if they had done something unthinkable and were planning to? The Minds of Madness is a weekly true crime podcast that dives deep into the criminal psyche, covering the most shocking and disturbing cases you've ever heard from all over the world. We're talking about ordinary people who do the most unthinkable things, like a feral Goldilocks-style intruder who left a disgusting calling card before embarking on a reign of terror that led a nationwide manhunt. Or a seductive ex who used voodoo and manipulation to get whatever she wanted. The Minds of Madness examines the psychology of the perpetrators, trying to understand what makes them tick while interviewing experts in forensic psychology and criminology, as well as survivors who fought for justice. So what are you waiting for? The Minds of Madness is available wherever you get your podcast, or visit mindsofmadnesspodcast.com for more information. I also put a link in tonight's show notes.
We'd like to have, you know, a boogeyman in the name.
I mean, his...
Now then, if you would join me over in Virginia, where Allie has an experience she'd like to share.
Hi, Derek. This is Allie from Virginia. Been in Virginia my whole life. I can't seem to escape, but that's okay. I'm going to get on with the story. It happened in the mountains of Virginia, 2015, and I was inspired to send this in from the season 2, episode 19 episode about the Brown Mountain Lights. This was in the Blue Ridge Mountains, though, and not in North Carolina. It was in Virginia. So I've been dealing with a lot of interpersonal issues, a lot of health issues at the time, but I was presented with the opportunity to live in a home in the mountains of Virginia. But the whole thing was I could live there rent-free if I helped to renovate the home. In background about the home, It was purchased by a family friend. I thought this was an amazing opportunity. I jumped on it because I had only been living in urban environments. I wanted something slow-paced. I wanted quiet. I wanted to be able to have time to clear my head, get my ducks in a row, and write. Anyway, all that aside, I was able to move into the home. The only history of the home that I knew was that it was sold by the son of an old couple that had passed in the home, I believe. Not 100%. They could have passed away in a nursing home, but, you know, death indirectly associated with the home. It had been in the family for a long time. But the son, he wanted to be a Rolling Stone, live a nomadic life. I think he was a biker. So, very cool guy. All the power to him. So I was like, this is great. This is such good energy. I'm going to be happy here for a while. And I'm going to help. I'm going to make this house, you know, a very wonderful place. Well, the house was never a wonderful place. From moving in, there were issues everywhere. I mean, it was like constant flooding issues, constant very strange creatures getting in that shouldn't have been able to get in, or it just made no sense. The screen door of the home would be banging off and on all night, even when there was no wind at all, even on still nights. There would be cow noises, even though there were no cows on the street. A few times the doorbell would ring, and it wasn't the doorbell. It was all functioning well, but it would ring a few times in the middle of the night, and I was living alone as a woman. That was fun. Well, here's the experience. It was about 3 a.m. I was listening to Alex G on my iPhone, and my iPhone had had all sorts of issues, and the battery was charging. It was fine. It was probably about 50% charge. I couldn't sleep. There's a flash at my window. There's a window at the end of the bed and a window at the side of the bed. Keep in mind, the window of the side of the bed, I would sometimes see traffic lights from cars. But this was a flash, almost like a transformer explosion kind of flash. But it was right at the window. It got my attention at 3 a.m. So I go up to the window. I still am listening to music. Going up to look what I just saw. There's nothing I can see. I'm like, what just happened? Did something in the house malfunction? Am I going to have to fix another issue? You know, you're thinking the worst. But time almost stopped. I'm not hearing anything. And all of a sudden, out of the woods, and this house was on acres and acres of land, all of these woods, all of these lights, first one or two, and then at most, I think there was about 10 lights are slowly coming out onto the top of the tree line. And they're almost dancing. And it's slow and it's beautiful. And I go to film it and my phone dies. Yes, the cliche phone die thing happened to me. So no one believes me, of course. I've been told it could be eye shine from owls. I've been told maybe it was airplanes, military testing. But I don't know. I just don't think it was wildlife. I know it wasn't car traffic lights. It has perturbed me for years, Derek. And those orbs were beautiful. It took my breath away. But it has haunted me. That's the gist of it. Thank you so much. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks, Allie. You know, I think I'd enjoy a haunted farm out in the boonies somewhere. We're in nature here, but there's not a lot of space to do things. Not like the space that Allie described. And of course, that place has a bit of a bonus feature. Beautifully strange lights floating about the property. Now, I don't have an explanation for you, Allie, but I do appreciate you sharing the account. And if it's not ghosts or a UFO, then it almost has to be ball lightning. Right? Well, either way, thank you again for taking the time to call in. Now, folks, real quick, don't forget about our merch store. Yes, monstersamonguspodcast.com, and click on the shop tab to get there. But more importantly, the last day to order a hoodie for our pre-order is basically today, or the day after today, whenever Friday the 22nd is, because that's the final day we will be accepting pre-orders for this year's hoodie sale. Now again, you can visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the shop tab to get yours now. Don't delay. Order yours today. Now, back to the ghostly stuff and onward to Ohio. Please welcome Jordan to tonight's program.
Hey, this is Jordan, and I am from Ohio. I love the podcast, longtime listener. So my story is from 3 years ago. Me and my girlfriend were going to move into our first apartment together, and we had kind of heard some strange stories about the origin of the apartment. So apparently the previous resident had stabbed her boyfriend in the bathtub. So thought that was kind of a strange way to start everything out. But about a week after moving in, my girlfriend was out of the apartment at the time, and we were kind of finishing unpacking, and I had taken a pretty large box and placed it on the fridge. We had a dog, so tried to keep it out of his way at the time. And I went to go take a shower, and I remember thinking how perfectly this box fit on top of the fridge. While I was taking my shower, I heard a huge bang coming from the kitchen. And I jumped out of the shower and went to go see what it was. And the box was sitting on the floor. Now, there were quite a few items in this box. It was fairly heavy. There was really no way that the box could have came off the fridge. And I'm a pretty logical person, pretty skeptical of a lot of paranormal things. And I couldn't explain it. A couple weeks later, we started hearing noises in the apartment. It sounded like cabinets were slamming, things were being moved around, and we also heard it from the apartment next door as well. I asked a few neighbors, because I'd never actually seen the neighbor there, and it turns out she's kind of a snowbird, so she travels south for the winter and comes up during the summer, but during the winter, the apartment's completely empty, and that's around the time that we started hearing these noises. So I thought it was very strange that these noises kept happening. But those never stopped. Some nights it would be completely quiet, but more often than not, a few times a week, we'd hear these same exact noises. Another night, me and my girlfriend were sitting in bed at the time, and I heard the blinds in the living room start to move back and forth. I walked out to see what had disturbed them, and the blinds were shifting back and forth, but there was nothing there. The dog was in the bedroom with us. So no logical explanation once again. And this is kind of where things started escalating a couple months into living at the apartment. One night, my girlfriend was out of town visiting some friends. And, you know, I was just about to go to sleep. It was getting pretty late. I laid down and I couldn't sleep at the time. And I heard her come in. I heard her go through her regular routine of taking off her makeup, turning on the light, shutting the bathroom door, moving the drawers, getting out her toothbrush, everything, the sink running. And then it went quiet for a while. And I started, remember kind of getting irritated, like, why isn't she coming to bed? It's almost like 2 a.m. at this point. So I texted her, expecting her to be like making something to eat, something. And I get a text back. She said, I'm on my way home now. Now, I didn't have a chance to talk to her for a few days. It turned out the night prior, as we were going to bed, I usually have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. So at some point, she said that she felt me get out of bed. She was still playing on her phone at the time. It was pretty late at night. She felt me get out of bed, and she saw what she thought was me walk across the bedroom to the bedroom door and just freeze there. I guess my hand was acting like it was going to turn the knob, and it just never moved. Now, at first, you know, she didn't think anything of it, then thought to look up, and there was no one there. She turned over, and there I was, still lying in bed. You know, the more I tried to pressure on what exactly happened, she said it was just a shadow that moved across. It was my height, my size, and she assumed that it was me. I mean, it was in the dark. The only light that she had was from her phone and from the outside. But yeah, I mean, the whole thing just really creeped me out, creeped her out as well. And like I said, we didn't have a chance to really discuss this exact thing until a few days after, you know, both of our events had kind of happened. And comparing the two, it's very strange because in my experience, it was almost something that was pretending to be her. And then in her experience, it was something pretending to be me walking across the room, the shadow figure. Now, that never happened to us again, but we did attempt to use a Ouija board at one point. Unfortunately, didn't have any experience during that, except at the very end of the experience, the Ouija board box that was still sitting on the table was pushed off the table. I had asked some neighbors about these, you know, events, see if anybody else had experienced it. I mean, it's an apartment complex, you know, is the whole complex experiencing these things, or is it just tied to our particular set of rooms? I spoke to an elderly couple, and they had informed me that I was not the first person that had mentioned this, and it had been mentioned numerous times. People had had, you know, lamps being thrown across the room, all sorts of things. But then we moved into a house after this apartment, and all the activity stopped, and haven't experienced anything paranormal since then. But thanks for your time. Yeah, have a great day.
Thank you, Jordan. Something in your house pretending to be your significant other, and vice versa. Now, I have a pretty high tolerance for this sort of activity. My focus is on the paranormal a majority of my waking hours, at least these days. So a bit of numbness is to be expected. But I think I have to draw the line at this activity. Having some unseen entity infesting your house is one thing, but having to worry that who you think is your wife is actually the entity, well, ain't nobody got time for that. Well, ain't nobody got time for that. So that's a big old nope from me, Jordan. But I gotta give it to you. It's disconcerting stuff. We thank you for sharing the nightmares.
They advise you to take it, and
PlayStation fans, brace yourselves. Starting to...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, so we've somehow avoided a visit from the cryptid world so far this episode. So let's remedy that with this next entry from Dustin in the state of Pennsylvania.
Hey, Derek, this is Dustin from southwestern PA. I wanted to call in and tell you about my encounter that me and my friend had one night after work. We went out paranormal investigating. There's a cemetery on the game lands locally here, and it's kind of way back in there. We got off work about 11 o'clock, went out there, took us, I think it was like an hour and 45 minutes to walk back to the cemetery. And the entire time it felt like something was following us, something was watching us. And the further into the woods that we got, the more we could feel it, you know? And once we got back in there, we got into the cemetery, started setting up our equipment. We wasn't there for like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. And my buddy says, "What's that?" And I turn and I look to my left, and just up on top of the hill, and it wasn't completely on top of the hill, so it wasn't like in the skyline, it was like further down the hill, was these two glowing balls of light. They were probably about 2 to 3 inches in diameter, and they were like an orangish yellowish color. They looked like eyes. And about that time, we heard a wood knock come from behind us. And we turned and looked to see what that was. There wasn't anything there. And when we turned back, the two eyes were gone. We just felt like it was time for us to get out of there. Now, in this area, there has been known Bigfoot sightings as well as Dogman sightings. What we encountered that night, I have no idea. But I know on the way out, it felt like it was like pacing us out the woods. Yeah, it was just a really intense situation because on our way back, our lights end up dying. So that's our story. And I really enjoy the show. All right, man. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks, Dustin. He's right, you know. That area sure is known for Sasquatch sightings. The Chestnut Ridge, specifically. And other places like Westmoreland County, Jefferson County, and Allegheny County. But it's not just Sasquatch, though. All sorts of weirdness has been witnessed over there. But that's a deep dive for another time. But in the meantime, Dustin, it sounds like you fell for the old look-over-here trick. A quick distraction to create some cover, perhaps, just long enough for that first creature to disappear. Now, if you get the nerve, Dustin, to go back out there, please let us know if you have any further encounters. I didn't grow up too far from there, and I can tell you, it is a special place. And we thank you again, Dustin, for telling us all about it. Now, from Squatch on the Ground to Orbs in the Sky, please welcome Savannah from the Great Lakes State.
Hi, Derek. This is Savannah. I'm out from Jackson, Michigan. I'm calling to tell you my story. So last night, Valentine's Day, just out enjoying a jazz cigarette, and I happen to look up into the sky. And I do this quite often. I just like looking at the stars. But anywho, last night was completely different. There was this bright orb with a fuzzy haze over it in the sky. And behind it was this bright light, like a star trailing behind it. So I ran inside and I grabbed my binoculars and I can't explain it. It was, this orb was trailing this light. So I hurried up and I called my best friend and I said, hey, dude, you need to get out here and look at this. And he was like, dude, there's something following it. I said, I know. So he runs and grabs his binoculars and we're sitting here watching it. Then all of a sudden, it emits this light, like plasma. And I know from research that people in Texas have been seeing something similar to this. And it is just insane. So it releases that plasma and it just covers the sky. And then it releases a small one. And I told him, I'm going to call you back. I'm going to try to record this. And the moment I hang up and I get my recording out, it's gone. Just disappears. And I always believed in aliens, but I've never actually, like, legitimately could prove something like that until last night. And I'm just floored. And I'm thankful that I called my best friend. And then to add to that really quick, one of my other best friends that morning recorded some strange noise, like alien radio. I don't know. It was really weird. But I thought that was odd because I didn't watch her snap until after I had sent her my own. But yeah, crazy. A lot of things happening in the sky at night. Have a good night. Keep things spooky.
Thank you, Savannah. Like I always say, all you have to do is look up. You'll see all kinds of strange stuff if you stare long enough. Some of it explained. But some of it, like whatever Savannah here witnessed, is not. But if you long to become a witness, that's my best advice. Go outside and look up. Take note of what you see. Download a Star Guide app and a flight tracker. Weed out any known objects. Have the camera open on your phone. Crack a beverage and have a good time. Now, as for a UFO dripping plasma, 1 week before the infamous Kenneth Arnold sighting that helped coin the term flying saucer, and 2 weeks before the notorious crash at Roswell, was the Maury Island incident. Another UFO case where a strange glowing liquid was secreted from the craft. In June of 1947, Harbor Patrolman Harold Dahl was salvaging sunken logs when he witnessed six donut-shaped craft hovering over the Puget Sound near a place called Maury Island, Washington. The event is still celebrated to this day. In fact, here is local news station KIRO News 7 out of Seattle's coverage about the events from a dozen or so years ago.
The mysteries of UFOs may never be explained, but what happened in Puget Sound in June of 1947 is getting new life. That's when Harold Dahl, salvaging logs, said he saw flying saucers. One was in trouble, dropping molten hot debris, killing his dog, burning his son. He told no one. He was then visited by a man in black, followed by a mysterious plane crash, killing the two pilots, allegedly transporting debris dropped from the troubled UFO. It's all known as the Maury Island Incident. In UFO lore, it's significant. It was reported 3 days before pilot Ken Arnold's famous sighting of flying saucers over Mount Rainier, the first time the term was ever used, followed 2 weeks later by the reported alien crash at Roswell, and then the floodgates of UFO sightings opened wide.
Now, as was mentioned, the story gets a lot crazier. The next day, Dahl was visited by a man in a dark suit, strange skin, and dark sunglasses. A man in black who told Dahl to forget everything that he thought he saw. And the military seemed to show interest as well. A team of soldiers arrived and collected samples of the substances, but they were all handed over to two Air Force investigators, Captain William Davidson and Lieutenant Frank Brown. But both were killed and the samples destroyed when their B-25 crashed shortly after visiting with Dahl. The very first UFO cover-up, perhaps. Your call reminded me a lot of that story, Savannah. Anytime a UFO leaves a substance behind, it sure gets a lot of people excited. And I'm sure this is a long shot, but I don't suppose there's any chance you collected any of that plasma, did you? Well, if you did, something tells me you would have already received a visitation from a strange man in a dark suit in a strange complexion. Or at least, that's what the lore says. Now, another big thanks to you, Savannah, for taking the time to ring in. And folks, that brings us to tonight's final entry. And this last one isn't exactly a cryptid story, though it could be. And it's not exactly a ghost story either, although I could see it being that as well. And you know, to tell the truth, there's a possibility that it's not even a paranormal story at all. But none of that stops it from being a heart-stopping recount. Please welcome Megan out of Tennessee.
Hi, Derek. My name's Megan. I am from Knoxville, Tennessee, and I had a story for you. This happened in the summer of 2002 in West Knoxville, where I live. I was coming home late at night. It was after 10 o'clock because it was already dark, and I pulled into the gravel driveway at my parents' house and got out of my car and heard something behind me and turned around, and there was a huge black dog. It was about the size of a Great Dane, but it had a Doberman-shaped head with a longer snout and long pointy ears, and it also had red eyes. They weren't like glowing, like crazy glowing, but they were clearly red. And I froze. I was terrified and I didn't know what to do. And I remember thinking, if I move, it's going to attack me. And the dog was just completely frozen, and it was only about 2 feet away from me. And it was standing like eye to eye with me. And finally, I realized I've got to do something. And so I just slowly reached out my arm towards it, like, this is it. I'm either going to pet it or I'm going to get bitten or something. And as soon as I started to reach my arm out, the dog turned its head and ran, just kind of trotted into the backyard. And as soon as it did that, I bolted for the house and ran in and woke my dad up and told him there was this huge thing in the yard. And he came running in his underwear with a gun. I was standing on the back deck and I could see the dog in the backyard and I was pointing, look, look, there it is. Can you see it? There it is. And my dad could not see this dog, and I don't know how he couldn't see it. But there I am pointing, there it is, there it is. Not like I wanted him to shoot it, I just wanted him to see it. And was really frustrated that my father could not see this dog. And then as soon as I had that thought that, you know, why can't he see this dog? I looked behind the dog and saw its mate. There was two of them the whole time. I never saw the second one. So, never saw those dogs again. Have no clue where they went or where they came from or what happened. Yeah, that's my story. Thanks so much. I love your show. Have a great week.
Thank you, Megan, for making the call. Like I said, this one could go one of three ways. Given the description, one could argue that this creature was none other than the famous Dog Man, a typically upright, hairy, dog or wolf-like hybrid, something akin to a werewolf. And sure, this one was on all fours, but plenty of Dogman encounters have included that detail. Now, another possibility is that this could have just been a regular old dog. A big dog, but a dog nonetheless. Perhaps it escaped from a nearby neighbor, or it was part of a roaming pack that just got separated from everyone else. And finally, it could have been a spirit, a spook or a specter, a hellhound even. A creature that once roamed the earth, but now only does so in spectral form. I'll allow you to choose which of those adventures best fits your belief system. Now, before we close things out here this evening, this story has several parallels to a story that a researcher, Delaney Bowers, has been hanging on to for quite some time. According to her, the following article has been on her desktop all year long, just waiting for the right call to come along. Now, the article was originally printed in the Brooklyn Citizen back on July 22nd of 1939. And it reads, Phantom dog inspires man to kill wife. Bronxite stabs self with scissors after shooting mate. Arthur Spiropoulos, who thought he saw a big black dog racing around his apartment, shot and killed his wife, Angelica, 47 today, and stabbed himself with scissors. His wound was superficial, and he told police that he was not only worried about the phantom dog, but that he was plagued constantly by suspicions that his wife had been unfaithful. Spiropoulos, 60, fired twice at a daughter, Jenny, 16, but missed. Spiropoulos has three other children. Yet another phantom dog that others couldn't see, and another man tried to shoot. Like I said, the two stories are eerily similar. Now, I don't know what this thing is or was, nor where it came from, but I can tell you that stories like this are a dime a dozen. The black dog phenomena, some call it. Whatever it is, I'm here for it. So thank you again, Megan, for calling in. And thank you, listener, for tuning in, because that's going to do it for this evening's episode. The Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Be sure to like us on our social media pages. Give us a like and follow on YouTube. Follow our Discord server. Leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. And be sure to check us out every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. Now, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.eg Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now, don't forget to watch our film. Go to BoregoTriangle.com to tune in. Now, a quick announcement for those international folks. We're still waiting on a couple of clearances, but as soon as those go through, I'll make the announcement. And I'm sorry that it's taken so long. And finally, join us in the beyond. MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab to learn more. Now, if you're a true fan of the show, you'll listen to the very end. As for you fair weather fans, I'll catch you all next week. Until then, though, keep it spooky and have a good night.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Oh, I was saying of all time.
It is going to be blocking the third lane from your left.
Now, for tonight's secret entry. You know, this is something we do every week. There's a secret entry at the end of every Thursday episode. If you're just now realizing that, you might want to go back and check out the end of all the other episodes. But anyway, tonight's secret entry is, of course, a weird one. They all are. But it's also pretty creepy. Please welcome Anonymous, out of my state of California.
Calling from Central Valley, California, and I want to remain anonymous. I want to say a story that happened back in maybe 08. I was living with my in-laws at that time. We had just rented out this house. Before they moved in, the people that lived there, they had painted the house red and the carpets were black. So it was really weird vibe moving in. I can't remember how long after we moved in, but one day I was asleep in my room and I got woken up by police officers flashing their flashlights through my window. So I woke up, they were knocking on the window, they were like, open up. So I go to the front door, it was like, I don't know, in the middle of the night, 2-3 in the morning, I don't know. I opened the door and I said, hi, like, how can I help you? But before I opened the door, actually, I woke up my father-in-law because it scared me. So I went to his room, I woke up my father-in-law and I said, hey, there's police officers in the front door. He came, we opened the door and he's like, we're here because somebody called for help just a little while ago and the address came to this address and it was a woman. And I said, well, I didn't call the police because I'm asleep. And the only other lady that was there was my mother-in-law. And she was asleep and she didn't call for help. And I guess the person said they needed help. So then the police officers looked around. They verified everything that was okay and they left. The weird thing about it was that it happened 2 more times. Around the same time, it happened the following year again, like in November. And then it happened again but I can't remember what month it was, but it happened again where the cops came. It said a woman was calling and needed help, and it was pinging to our address. So it was just really strange. Even to this day, that basement is super creepy. Nobody goes down to the basement, not my father-in-law, not nobody. And I ask him sometimes if he gets creeped out. He says he does at times when he's alone, but it's basically off-limits, the basement. I don't know. It was just a really creepy experience in that house. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Well, folks, what do you think? It's not that hard to make up a backstory to this one, is it? A call for help, echoing throughout time. Now, caller, I would suggest doing some digging. See if you can find any tragic deaths in that area, especially deaths involving a call to 911. And of course, do let us know what you find. And thank you again, caller, for ringing in here this evening. Well, folks, this is the end of the line, if you're riding the free bus, that is. Because past these gates, you will need a ticket. But it's worth it for a seat in the beyond. $5 a month gives you instant access to days worth of ad-free content. Bonus content. Some of it dating back nearly a decade. And to learn more, just look us up on Patreon or Apple subscriptions, or visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the Patreon tab. It's in the beyond that you get to hear stories like Joe's out of the state of California.
Hi, Derek. My name is Joe. I live now in small town Kansas, but I grew up in Southern California in a small town called Long Beach. My story happened a very long time ago. I was probably about 9 or 10 years old, back in the mid to late 70s. A little background on where we live. There's a house that, to my understanding, was an old boarding house, and it had 12 rooms upstairs, and then me and my mom were the only ones living in the house at the time, and so we lived in the downstairs part of the house. And we had some rather odd experiences there. The one that got me the most was I was downstairs one morning watching cartoons, as an 8 or 9, 10-year-old kid is going to do, all alone in the house. My mom's at work. My uncle, he lived basically next door to us. He's still in his apartment, not coming down yet because it was football time. So by myself in the house, I heard this loud bang and a thud upstairs in one of the rooms. Having no idea what it is, I wait for my uncle to come down, told him what I heard, and him and I took a little walk upstairs and started walking through the rooms. And in one of the rooms, there was an old antique chair that probably weighed 20, 30 pounds, whatever it was. And it was across the room from where it normally was, laying on its back, and there was a big hole in the wall. And obviously no explanation for it, because I'm 10 years old, there's no way I could have picked that chair up and thrown it across the room. And me and my uncle, we just looked at each other and shrugged it off and went back downstairs and watched football. Then another time, my uncle had one of the rooms upstairs that he used for his CD and ham radio set up. And
time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.